Welcome to another episode of Law and Religion Down Under. I'm your host, Jeremy Patrick, convener of the Law, Religion, and Heritage Research Program team at the University of Southern Queensland. Did you know that in the preamble to the Australian Constitution, the colonies are agreeing to confederate while, quote, humbly relying on the blessing of Almighty God, end quote? What exactly does that mean, and should it affect our understanding of the Constitution more generally? That's the topic of today's episode, and here to help answer those questions is Dr. Alex Deegan, a senior lecturer at QUT. Alex has written extensively about the intersection of law and religion in Australia and beyond, and has discussed the inclusion of Almighty God in the preamble in an article for the Oxford Journal of Law and Religion, and a recent contribution to the blog for the International Center of Law and Religion Studies. Alex, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I thought maybe we'd start with sort of the most basic question, because not every listener maybe is going to be aware of preambles and what sort of purpose they serve and statutes and constitutions. So could you tell me a little bit about why do we have preambles in these documents? What are they for?
Well, preambles serve different functions depending on the kind of instrument that they're contained in. So constitutional preambles can kind of range from something that's quite bare and formal, which is just basically to introduce the Constitution and what it's about, or they can be a bit more kind of flowery and substantive, and they express more kind of substantive aspirations or desires or kind of morals of the nation. And so those are the kinds of extremes at either end, and then constitutions can vary in terms of how much of that they incorporate.
Okay, so would you place the Australian Constitution in sort of the flowery, full of values and important nationhood sort of statements category, or more in the sort of short, concise, whether or not bland or sort of category that you mentioned?
Well, it is short and concise.
Yeah.
Compared to some other preambles, and mostly just formal, as you mentioned, it basically just talks about Australia is a federated commonwealth of so and so colonies, but there's just this little statement, humbly relying on the blessing of Almighty God, which possibly gives it a little bit more substance, and that's not something that is particularly common in constitutions around the world, to have an acknowledgement of God of some kind. It's not unusual, but it's not very common either.
Okay. So I guess in theory, we could use a preamble to help interpret an ambiguous statutory term or an ambiguous constitutional term. Does the High Court in Australia use the preamble very often to interpret the Constitution?
Basically, no. The High Court doesn't really reference the preamble too much at all in its judgments. So I think it's probably because it's that kind of bare formal preamble that doesn't really have any, it doesn't really express any aspirations or desires of the framers of the Constitution that the High Court might take into account when interpreting particular provisions. It's kind of just a bare statement. And so basically, no, the High Court's ignores the preamble in their interpretation. But I think if we saw a more substantive High Court case come on Section 116, the freedom of religion provision, and there's a historical relationship between the preamble and that provision, then the High Court may take that into account.
They haven't
much in the few cases that have considered Section 116, but given the new scholarship on the issue, written by myself and others, they may in the future.
What do you think that relationship is between Section 116 and the preamble? I think I was reading in Nick Aroney's blog post on the same ICLRS series, he gives almost a causal sort of relationship that because of the preamble, then we have Section 116. And for listeners who aren't aware, Section 116 is a guarantee of religious freedom and a prohibition on establishing a religion. It's one of the very few traditional constitutional rights in the Australian Constitution. It's lifted very closely from the American Bill of Rights. We know the Australian Constitution doesn't have a Bill of Rights generally, but we do have this particular right. So what is the relationship between the two, either historically speaking or from your research?
Well, I think Nick is exactly right. It's basically a causal relationship. The inclusion of the preamble was really the catalyst for the inclusion of Section 116. So the reason the phrase humbly relying on the blessing of Almighty God was included in the preamble was basically because, from a pragmatic perspective, the framers of the Constitution wanted the preamble and the rest of the Constitution to be acceptable to the colonies and to the Australian population more generally. So when campaigning started for federation, for creating a Commonwealth of Australia, churches and church-related organisations started campaigning and marketing quite heavily the idea of acknowledging God in that constitution, like relying on his blessing in some way. There were lots of different proposals that went through the framing process, which received varying degrees of popularity. But the key thing was that came out of the Council of Churches campaign and the various petitions that they put was that this was a very popular move. Lots of people in the nation and the colonies generally supported including some kind of acknowledgement of God in the preamble to the Constitution. And so a lot of the framers also took that view in print as a matter of principle because they agreed, or they took that view pragmatically, recognising that if the preamble was to get up, they needed to support this because that's what the people wanted.
Right. Well, but, that's important. Sorry to interrupt. That's important to remember that ratification wasn't a done deal. They really had to pitch this and sell this to the people voting at the referendum. And so this was a way to make it more acceptable to greater numbers of people.
Yeah, essentially. So they wanted to include the preamble, but then some of the framers, Ray, and some other organization. So Higgins in particular, who was a major contributor to drafting the Constitution, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, actually, along with the secularists, raised concerns that including this humbly relying on the blessing of Almighty God phrase and preamble might give the Commonwealth Parliament power to make religious laws. Mm. And in particular, the Seventh-day Adventist Church were concerned with Sunday observance laws.
Oh, okay.
Seventh-day Adventists worship traditionally on Saturday. That's their Sabbath. Right. And so they were afraid that Sunday observance laws would be imposed on them.
Okay.
Through this preamble. And so what they wanted was a provision in the Constitution that would stop religious practices or observances being imposed and also correspondingly protect freedom of religion as well, free exercise of religion without being imposed on by external forces or by government.
Okay.
And so, again, Section 116 went through a number of iterations, but it eventually arrived to its current position, which just prevents basically Commonwealth legislative imposition on religious practices, right, and freedom of religion and so forth. So they were concerned that the Commonwealth would impose Sunday observance laws or whatever more broadly. But strangely enough, they were quite fine with leaving the states to have the power to basically make whatever laws they wanted about religion. So
there's... Well, there is that odd thing that Section 116 is in the section of the Constitution on the states. If my recollection serves, and it's always been a historical oddity, I think, as to why it's located where it is. But
yeah, so the in the original kind of draft of the Constitution, it had it applied to both the Commonwealth and the states.
Oh, okay.
And then the states bit was taken out because of federalism and state rights concerns. So a lot of the framers were worried that the states would essentially have power to regulate religious practices taken away from them.
Okay.
And so there's a federalist explanation for why it just applies to the Commonwealth rather than the Commonwealth and the states, or just the states.
And so Section 116 was deemed necessary because back in 1899, 1900, it wasn't clear what sort of effect the preamble would have. And there were fears by some that the preamble could be a sort of hook that Parliament could hang religious laws on. Now we know the preamble doesn't have any sort of operative effect. But back then, it wasn't so clear how it would be interpreted.
Well, I mean, the Higgins, who was the main framer who was prosecuting this case for Section 116, was relying on some US jurisprudence. There was a case that was decided in kind of the mid-1890s in the US, which Higgins interpreted to be saying that because America was a Christian nation, Sunday observance laws were consistent with the First Amendment. They didn't breach the establishment clause. And so Higgins was saying, well, if people say humble relying on the blessing of Almighty God makes us a Christian nation, then a court might follow that jurisprudence.
Okay.
And say that imposing Sunday observance laws is consistent with who we are as a nation. And so we're empowered to do that. So that was kind of where the concern came from.
Right. Okay, that's really interesting. I hadn't realized the connection between the preamble and Section 116 before this. So, so you've written in your post on the blog and in your article that you think the inclusion of Almighty God is a good thing in the Australian Constitution. Could you tell me a little bit about why you think that?
Well, I think that it's a good thing for a few reasons. First of all, it was a good thing for historical reasons at the time, and so it was as we talked about, it was a popular kind of thing to include. At the time of Federation, Australia was something like 96% Christian, and so obviously an acknowledgement of God in the foundational instrument, the foundational legal instrument of Australia, was very popular. Obviously, that percentage is nowhere near that high now. It's right. Somewhere in the vicinity of 50% Christian and maybe 60% religious more broadly. But what it does do is it points to our Christian heritage and more broadly our religious heritage. And it reminds us of where kind of the fundamental legal and moral values that undergird our society came from.
Do you have any concerns that it might seem, at least today, might seem exclusionary? I mean, as you mentioned the demographic change, now Christians are, whatever it might be, 45 to 50%, I don't remember the latest census. I think there's a new one coming out soon, actually. But is that a reflection that this is purely a sort of historical acknowledgement, or does it have sort of current meaning, and how do people who aren't Christians, how should they view this this inclusion of Almighty God in the Constitution?
Yeah, well, even at the time, despite the fact it was 96% Christian, some of the frames at the time had concerns about it potentially being sectarian. Actually, the form of language they arrived at was viewed to be largely non-sectarian, not denominationally specific,
right?
And so more inclusive.
Very broad and inclusive, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think potentially most religious people would be able to find some kind of inclusion in that. The Christians and the Muslims, those who believe in some kind of ultimate God-like deity. Obviously, those of other religions or no religions wouldn't necessarily feel that expresses how they feel. And so the question is, if, say, we flip your question, what would taking that phrase out of the Constitution signify?
Right.
Arguably, it would signify to many religious people and to many Christians the removal of religion from law and from public life. So I think what we have to bear in mind is that the phrase represents a kind of historic fact, an historic view about the relationship between God and public life, which we shouldn't necessarily jettison. In terms of what it means now, I think in general, reference to the transcendent is important in our public life, because it reminds us that, you know, the state is not God. The state doesn't determine what we believe about, you know, the more fundamental issues of life. It doesn't determine our morality. It can often express our morality through law, but in my view, at least, morality and law are not equivalent.
Right.
And so it reminds us that there's something more out there, whether that's Almighty God from a Christian perspective or whether that's something else. And I think that can motivate us to higher and deeper beliefs and virtues and the way we view humans as something, as people who are intrinsically dignified. They're not just kind of bare citizens. They're actually people with intrinsic dignity. Points to something beyond the state and the citizen.
Does it, I mean, I guess, do you think it maybe puts the state's thumb kind of on one side of the scale? I mean, if I'm, whatever, a devoted Marxist or a Sartrean existentialist, and my, you know, deep worldview comes from those things, and I see the Australian Constitution with, you know, Almighty God, does that mean I'm sort of, I'm a citizen, but not quite the same as a Judeo-Christian, you know, citizen? Is there sort of... I don't know, categorization there of what the state is committed to?
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, there have been many kind of secular critiques of various religious traditions in our or statements in our legal system. So, mm-hmm. So things like prayers in Parliament.
Oh, sure.
Kind of a recent target. But I haven't actually heard a lot in terms of amending the Constitution to remove the blessing of Almighty God phrase. Mm. I'm not sure why that is. I have a few ideas.
Okay.
But, I mean, my guess is probably there's a twofold reason. The first is it's just, or people view it at least as just kind of a formal phrase. It doesn't have any substantive legal effect, and so it doesn't really matter. No one's really being excluded or imposed upon. Unlike arguably parliamentary prayers, where members of parliament are either forced to sit through the prayers or forced to leave. So there's an argument about some kind of imposition there. But that's
not right. So it could be seen as what they call ceremonial deism in modern literature.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think the other reason is that it does truly represent the way Australia was then at the time of Federation, in terms of a large-scale acknowledgement and reliance of God, both privately and publicly. And as I mentioned, I don't think that's something that should be removed or blacked out, in a sense.
Yeah. Well, I think that makes some sense, that most people don't know very much about the Australian Constitution. I'm sure most people don't know what's in the preamble. And unless someone maybe is looking to be offended or something like that, probably they're not likely to come across it and have major issues with it, since it doesn't have, as you say, any current, you know, legal effect according to the current way the High Court at least has been using it. I have heard that with some of the Republic plans for a referendum on the Republic, then the preamble might have to be changed. And then there'd be some discussion about what should the preamble look like in the future. But I think even most pro-Republic partisans have avoided getting into the preamble to great detail, because I think this sort of including or removing God could be a sort of culture war trigger that is best avoided by most.
Yeah. I mean, I think maintaining the status quo is kind of the best solution here. I mean, ultimately, some people will be upset about something.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think to remove or tone down the religious elements in the preamble would upset quite a few people.
Okay.
More so than just leaving it how it is. And I don't recall the specific wording, but from memory, the 1999 Republic proposal did propose a new preamble, which made some kind of cosmetic changes to the religious aspects, but it still kept them in there.
Okay.
But I don't recall the exact wording.
And moving beyond just the Australian Constitution, you've also written that you think including God in a preamble is sort of important for all democracies, or would be a good thing for all democracies to have beyond just the Australian context. And I assume sort of the reasons you gave about acknowledging that the state is not the ultimate, avoiding that sort of fascist totalitarian idea, an important thing. And I think that there's some value there in thinking of religious communities as important sites of moral virtue apart from a totalizing state. Is that sort of the rationale you were thinking?
Yeah, that's exactly right. What I was talking about before.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you speaking with me about this today. It's a really interesting phrase in the Constitution, and I'm curious to see if in maybe some future case the High Court will actually use it in interpreting Section 116, but we get so few cases on 116 to begin with that maybe that will never happen. I don't know, but
we'll have to wait and see. I mean, look, my view is, given the kind of rising issues to do with religion and the state, I mean, we're seeing it in the US and the UK, and we tend to follow what they do. I think there will be Section 116 cases that come around again. I mean, our constitution has been interpreted quite narrowly by the High Court, which is why there's so few cases on it compared to, say, the US or the UK. But I think it will happen in the next few years. It'll be interesting to see what kind of case it is and then what the High Court chooses to do with it.
Okay, well, that's something to look forward to, I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll wrap things up there for now. Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Great. If you're interested in reading Alex's writings on the preamble, I've placed links in the show notes. If you have questions, comments, or topic suggestions, please email me at jeremy.patrick@usq.edu.au. I'll be back in 2 months with another episode of Law and Religion Down Under. Thanks for listening.